In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The world is so much with us that when we come into the church to do the divine liturgy together along with God, it seems that we bring more of the world in our hearts than we bring a desire for God. As we have just heard, when St. Paul wrote to the Hebrews, he wrote in his letter that here we have no continuing city, but we seek the city to come. There are those who believe themselves Christians, who believe that their calling, as they refer to it, is to do the things that Jesus Christ did not do when he came. Jesus Christ came and he died and he saved the world. He saved the world and he saved our humanity. And he opened the door to our salvation if we would walk through. He did not purify the empire of his time. He did not cleanse the government of his time. He did not create laws to try to force people to obey the law of Moses. He didn't do any of those things. He turned away from all of those who believed that when the king came, he would use the power of this world to make things as they ought to be. There are Christians who believe that they have a calling to do that, even though that is not what God did when he came into the world. When God came into the world, he changed things for us inside of ourselves. And our city is not the city of this world. We are the leaven of the loaf. We can make a difference by being Christians, by being like Christ in the world. We can make a difference if we have changed. If we abandon Christ and go into the world and try to use the means of the world to change it, or try to use our understanding of how we think we ought to be to change ourselves, then we have abandoned the gift that Christ gave us when he came into the world. When we come here to do the divine liturgy together, we do not come to a place that we have built. We do not come to a place that belongs to us. Only by self-emptying, by kenosis, can we enter into this place and not believe that it belongs to us, that it belongs to me, that it is my place, my church. This house, this place, has been built by God. He has used the hands of those who knew that their hands were serving God to build what has been built. Just as the priest serves at the altar, and it is not the priest who accomplishes what is accomplished during the divine liturgy. It is Jesus Christ. The priest is ordained into the priesthood of Jesus Christ. It does not make him different than what he is. It commands him to leave himself aside, die to himself, and do the things that are necessary in order that there be the divine liturgy. And it is the same with all of us. It is the same when we renovated this building, when we made the changes necessary in order to make this a place where the divine liturgy is done, an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. The men and the women that we see in the icons in the church are men and women God made into saints. They allowed him to make them into saints. Just as the Theotokos, when the angel came to her, accepted what was said to her. Let it be as you have said to me. These men and women, these saints, accepted the things that came to them during their lives and allowed God to use them to change them, to make them holy, to make them men and women who lived in this world as we do, but were not men and women of this world. As Christians, we are called to be men and women not of this world. We have no continuing city here. Our city is the one to come. God has made the presence of these divinized lives of the saints pass through the hands of iconographers and come into this place. We have to say it like that. We can't just say iconographers made because of their artistic ability these icons And we blessed them, and now we have them to commemorate the saints. No, just as the lives of the saints in the icons were lives that were lived because they accepted the difficulties and the hardships of life as the means of making them holy because of their love of God and their faith in Him and their cutting themselves off from confidence in themselves in the world and instead allowing themselves to be transformed to live from the humility and the goodness and the holiness and the divinity of Christ God, which changed their lives in every instance, whatever difficulty they confronted. We can think of St. Paul and all of the difficulties that he confronted. It is the same with the life of any Christian. The difficulties that come to us are the means of our transformation by God into a share in his holiness, a share in the holiness of the saints. By God's grace, these icons pass through the hands of iconographers that we might know that we are amongst them, that we might know that we are not alone in the world and have to follow the ways of the world in order to survive, and ask why God does not help us to do better according to the ways of the world. No, rather, we are amongst the saints. Our lives are meant to be lives where, as Christians, we accept those difficulties that come to us. And rather than letting them beat us down while we ask God to take suffering away from us, instead, like Christ in the garden, we accept the will of God, that His will be done, and that these sufferings can transform us by way of His conquest of death on the cross. That's what it means to bear the cross of our lives, to take the things that come and let God make them into the transformation of us, into men and women who belong amongst these saints we gather in the midst of to perform the divine liturgy. We are the iconographers of this place that is our entrance into the kingdom of God. The iconostasis, the tables, the lamps, all of the things that we see around us, God made them through us. We can't say, I made them, this is my place. Like the iconographers, God made them through us. Just like the hands of the priest at the altar, it is not the priest who accomplishes what is done at the altar with the bread and the wine. It is Christ God through the hands of the priest. It is Christ God through our hands as we make the things that go into the icon that we enter, that is the church, in order to ascend into his presence and be fed his body, his blood, by his hand. We build our churches and we build our lives not to make idols of them, not to worship them, not to look in the mirror and say, look what I have done, look at me, but so we can enter in as places from which to leave this world, to leave behind our separation from God, in order to enter into his presence. This place is an icon of the kingdom for us to enter. It is a place, the kingdom of God, of holy others. The place of the kingdom of God is not a building in the air. It is a place that is the presence of holy others. Here we see these icons, but the reality is to be in the presence of those holy others who are gathered around the throne of God, gathered around the angels that praise him. We enter into that place and we praise him and ascend and forget the world that we have left behind in order to receive life from him. We come here to enter this place inwardly and truly and ascend into the presence of God. We leave this world from within ourselves. We come and after our separation from this world, having confessed, having cleansed ourselves of sin, knowing that we have no right to be here, we come in fear and trembling, and we go before the high place, here to stand. There, on the other side of the altar, is the high place. That is the presence of God. The sanctuary is here. The place that we can't fully enter in this life is here, but we prepare, we come, and we receive at God's table from His hand, His divine life. And we would not be able to do this if it were not for the cross. If it were not for Christ's own crucifixion and our death, our participation in His death, the death of our vanity, the death of our pride, the death of our self-love, by an ongoing confession. Periodically we come to the sacrament of confession, but there are references to the confession that we make in order to be able to come before God in the divine liturgy itself. We come as confessors to a place that we have no right to be, a place that is won for us by Christ's death on the cross. If we participate in His death, we are able to come to this place really and truly and come to communion. Only by dying to ourselves are we able to receive this divine life from His hand. When we come here, we remember God's holiness. This is His place. This is God's place. It is not ours to treat as though it's perfectly fine for us to act as though we are in any other room. We made it like this. We built it, if that is our understanding. We have not entered into the place of God. This is not our home. Our home is in the world. And it is in the world that God will make us holy. It is in the world that God can make us holy. It is in our lives that God can make us holy. The wall of separation between the sacred and the everyday is gone. God has come into the world in order, as St. Paul says, to be sacrificed outside of the wall and sanctify and bless the people so that His holiness can be the holiness of the people in the world. We can't live a worldly life in the world and have our true faith in the things of the world and the pleasures of the world. And then once in a while, come, once a week even, to a different place, to the church, and then go back to lives that are the same as the lives of those around us. That is not why Christ came. He came in order to bring His life into the whole world through Christians, through us. As a people of the church, we live in the world, but we cannot be of the world. While we still live these lives that we are living, we make our home in the world. Not to go out and try to improve the world in worldly ways, ways that never distracted Jesus Christ when He walked the earth. He was never distracted by those who encouraged Him. Go, let's improve things here. Don't you think we should have a law to force people to do as they ought to do? He never did any of those things. He came in order to make it possible for God to make us holy, to make it possible for Him to enter into us as the Holy Spirit entered into the Theotokos, to enter into us and have the birth of a person in the world by baptism who could live in the world as a true human being. That particular true human being that is the person that God created when He made each one of us. We have a holy life to live in the world, not by way of our own holiness, not by way of our own strength, but by way of the holiness of God. And that is why St. Paul says in the letter to the Hebrews that we just heard, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. We need to be the presence of Christ in the world. We need to not let that wall of separation come up again inside of us. The wall of separation between an ordinary life and a separate holy place that we visit on occasion, but do not let interfere with our worldly life. The life of any Christian is no ordinary life. Sometimes each of us can say, as I know I say, when I see how proud I am tempted to despair. But Paul says, establish the heart by grace. We cannot accomplish the way we ought to be in our heart by our own self-will. We can only establish God's place in our heart by trampling pride whenever it raises its head in us. And by learning humility, God will teach us humility by way of the events that we deal with in the world. We must work toward the fullness of the stature of Christ, but it is always a matter of making progress toward establishing the fullness of the stature of Christ, bit by bit. It's not a question of all or nothing at all. Gradually, Christ draws us to himself. Gradually, by all of the events that occur in our lives each day, he is drawing ourselves to him. Unless we rebel and refuse to accept the means of our transformation, we never confront these difficulties, these transforming difficulties of life by ourselves alone. If we despair, then we turn from God and we feel crushed and say, why does God not help me? And our help is always there. Those difficulties are meant to transform us as the saints were transformed by their living lives daily in the world, but not accepting being of the world. There is always available to us, there is always before us, the grace of God that the Mother of Grace, as we could call the Theotokos, Mary, the Mother of Grace. It's the same thing as saying the Mother of Christ, God, Theotokos, because Jesus Christ is the presence of the grace of God in the world and in our lives. The Holy Spirit enters into us if we accept the grace of the Holy Spirit in those times of difficulty, rather than turning to despair, rather than saying to God, God, why don't you help me to deal with this situation? Instead, the alternative is, by the grace of God, to deal with the difficulty of that situation through the humility of Christ as he went to the cross. Those difficulties are slight as they are compared to the difficulties of so many hundreds of thousands throughout the world. They are the means of our transformation if we accept them. The humility of God ascending the cross to destroy death can become our humility. Our humility becomes the power and the strength of God's own humility. The beauty and the wonder of any saint is always the beauty and the wonder of God. The beauty and wonder of God revealed in Jesus Christ and revealed then in that time in that saint. It is the same for any of us if we are truly to be Christians. The glory and the wonder and the humility and the beauty of God is to be revealed through us whenever we are confronted by difficulties in the world. God and his humility are always there, are always present. We can touch them at any time if we can turn and reach beyond ourselves, beyond our despair of not being able to deal with things by our own strength. That grace, that divine humility is there not to make our own. It always remains the grace and the humility of God himself. But one by one, acts of ours, repentances of ours from how we might have tried to deal with things, can transform us so that we begin to learn his humility and the power of his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.